Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this moment, allowing us to come together and open up your word. You know what we are all going through individually, and you know you've called us to a special purpose. So as we speak about leadership and how you've been leading our lives and all this time, we ask that you fill this call, fill all of our hearts, our minds with your Holy Spirit so that we can understand your word and that we can receive the blessing that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so I'm going to share my screen first and then we'll all participate in the chat. I love what Melissa did yesterday when she asked some great questions. So I'll be kind of following a little bit of the trend. Let's see, I want to share my screen. I would love to share my screen. All right, share screen. All right, great. So now let's share screen and presentation. All right. So let's go up to the top. All right. So discussing today is leadership in Exodus. And I was just inspired by God to study the book of Exodus because of Moses and all that he had to go through. And for everybody who knows about the life of Moses, we know that he went through ups and downs. But if you pay attention to the book of Exodus, we'll see some really key principles in the book of Exodus and even different types of leadership that is happening in the book of Exodus that will help us all for our lives. So the first question that I want to ask everybody, and I want you to use the chat for this. And when we use the chat, we'll use it for two different purposes. First of all, we'll use the chat for just to share ideas and to answer questions. But second of all, we're using to get this out of ourselves. So we're answering the questions to remind ourselves. So the first question that I would like everybody just to type in the chat quickly is, where has God called me in leadership? Where has God called me in leadership? And that's in many different forms and types. So if you can use the chat to answer this question, that will be a blessing. So where has God called you to leadership? Okay, amazing. Canvassing. My co-leader is on the call, Crystal Jimenez. She's an amazing co-leader. As a writer for the church, those who have been turned away from the church. Okay, that's amazing. Melissa, that's an amazing answer. To encourage others and show kindness, all right. Jody, in my social interest, okay. Elias, service the need, all right. Matthew, to disciple and reach young adults with the gospel, okay. Working with kids through the conference occasionally. All right. In my skills, that's Lynn. Any more answers? Can we get some more? As a mother, okay, of twins, reaching out to other mothers for advice, okay. In my response to stressful events, wow. Jody, okay, that's a power answer. All right. So, all right. So I was looking through some of the answers in the chat, and I think those are really good because it's kind of showing us like how God is calling us all in different types of ways. Okay, help with my resources to low income people. Wow, that's very powerful. So now if we were to talk about what are some of the different types of leadership that we see in Exodus, I'll just share a few that hit me. We see obedient leadership. We see fearful leadership. We see faithful leadership. We see sacrificial leadership. We see all-knowing leadership. We see skilled leadership. And then the last leadership I left blank because we're all going to work as a team to answer that together. All right? I was going to ask, is Crystal Jimenez on the call? Is it possible, Crystal? How do you feel like I would like Crystal to participate because she was my canvassing leader and I wanted her to share with us How has God called you to leadership, and how has that changed your life when it came to canvassing? And if you can, if you could unmute your mic and share really quickly, even if it was just for a minute or two, that would really be a blessing.
Okay. So I never thought that God was gonna invite me to be a leader in canvassing, but I mean He did. In a way that I wasn't expecting, but I felt like that was God's calling for me, so I couldn't say no. So I said yes, and I knew that He was gonna be with me in all the journey. And I think, yeah, that's how.
Amen. 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 All right. So then we see. Let's everybody who has their Bibles. Everybody has their Bibles. I will definitely suggest using the Bible, but if you have a cell phone or technology, that's also amazing. And the first thing we're going to talk about is obedient leadership. Obedient leadership, all right? So when we go through the first, I broke up the page of Exodus into different sections, and the way I mark up my Bible, it's a little crazy, so I hope that you guys can understand that some people do things differently, but I mark up my Bible kind of like an art project. So like I break it up into different sections and I put like, and I make all these lines and scribbles and I do all this stuff to kind of, when I'm reviewing the page, all my thoughts are there. So I break up the first verse to verse 1 to 7 into one section. I break up the second part of the page into the second section and the third part of the page into a different section. And I'm saying to myself, what do these three parts mean? So when we talk about the setup and the situation, when we're reading in verse 1 to verse 7, it says, now there, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. And all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons for Joseph. For Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and all the land were filled with them. So there was a lot going on in this first part. And this is a beautiful book because it starts off kind of like all Hebrew books start. It's very common for them to start with some type of genealogy. And when I thought about this, many times when we see these genealogies, we skip over them quickly. Like we skip over the genealogy and typically we basically think like, oh, what does that mean? But as you look into the genealogy, it's two things. We know that God made a covenant and a promise with Abraham. So that brings us back to Genesis 22:17, if you want to note this. But if you go all the way back, even before sin came into the world, God gave Adam and Eve a calling. He gave them a order. He told them, if we turn to Genesis 1:28, we see what God says. It says, so then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. So as we come back here to Exodus 1, we're thinking, okay, God said to fulfill the earth. God made a promise to Abraham, and the grace of God protected his descendants. The grace of God protected Joseph all through what he was going through. And then it says 70 descendants, but that connects all the way to Exodus 12:37, where when they were actually leaving, the Bible records it as 600,000 people leaving. And most of the time when the Bible records it, it's only men that they're recording. So it's truly estimated that it was more than 2 million people. So how does this have to do with leadership? First of all, we see the life of Joseph, and Joseph's life was a blessing, was an example. The fact that he was obedient to God, even through all that he was going through. And that gives us an example of obedient, that gives us an example for obedient leadership, because what that's doing is, that's basically saying, if you're obedient, God will not only provide for you, but he will provide for your family. And he will continue to guide your descendants. So we ask this next question. What does this say about God? So if we could type in the chat really quickly, what does this say about God? If we look at God's sovereignty over Israel, what does this say about God? When we look at the fact that God protected Israel, kept his promise to Abraham, what does this say about God? God is faithful. Okay. Throughout the Bible, God has a chosen people. Melissa, Jacob, he keeps his promises. Alexandra, God has plans for his people. All right. All right. We're getting some amazing answers. I'm going to continue. I wanted to use the screen share, but it kind of looks like it's taking up too much bandwidth. And I'm actually serving in Mexico right now. So it's a little slow. So if you see me just speaking for right now, it's because I'm trying to make sure that the audio is best for all of us. Karen, he loves us and he loves himself enough to keep his promises. When I think about this and we talk about leadership, God is the most ultimate leader. Of course, we can see how God has used men throughout the Bible, but ultimately God is the ultimate leader, using his people to his will and also blessing them. But then I want to go into the second part of the chapter in Exodus, where we're talking about Exodus 1 verse 8. And it says, now there arose a new king over Egypt. And this starts to shift into fearful leadership. And we start to see a theme of the great controversy here and how some people are sometimes used as instruments of the devil. The new king, when he comes in, he was threatened by Israel. And I looked up some Bible commentaries and they had a quotation that made me think. It talked about the wickedness, that this king was so wicked that he was trying to actually break the independent spirit of Israel. So he put bondservants over them. He inflicted them. And we see that. And it says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they arose and also join our enemies and fight against us. So he put taskmasters over them to inflict burden over them. But this is wickedness. And what the commentary said was, wickedness is ever cowardly and unjust. It makes fear where there's no fear at all. So now we see this new king basically inflicting pain on a people that there was no need to inflict pain on them, because all they wanted to do was, all God wanted to use Israel as was a light. So first we see he's inflicting pain, and then after that doesn't work, God still blesses Israel, he resorts to murder. And we're seeing all this in the first chapter of Exodus. But then when we start to think, what's the connection here? How is this a connection? And as we look at the life of Moses and Exodus, we start seeing types in the Bible that point to Christ. And what this is pointing to is a similar story when Jesus was born. And Herod says, let's kill all the sons, the newborn babies. And we see Mary and Joseph actually fleeing to Egypt. So what happens next? What happens next after the king sees that the affliction wasn't working? We see here in verse 15, this is Exodus 1:15. It says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." So I think about this. I'm like, what? When we read these stories, sometimes we pass over like these things so quickly. And unless we sit still and we meditate on the word of God and actually think, what is the significance of it? Sometimes we can miss key things that God is trying to tell us. And if we look at the role of the midwives played such a significant role in this situation because they displayed faithful leadership. God used the midwives in such a powerful way. So now when I looked up the word, the name Pua, what does that mean? What was the significance of that? And the significance of her name actually meant to be fair. So I'm like, to be fair, well, how does that meaning have any significance? What's the connection here? And she was actually fair to the Hebrew children. She was fair to the Hebrew children. And it's just showing through all of this, we have the obedient leadership of Joseph. We have the fearful leadership of the Pharaoh. We have the faithful leadership of the midwives. But we're still seeing the ultimate leadership of God. Because no matter how much persecution happened, you cannot hinder the plans of God. No matter how much the coronavirus is trying to keep us out of the churches, you cannot stop our Zoom meetings. No matter what's happening, you are not going to stop us from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if I'm the only person who have seen this, but God has been using his church in these days in the most mighty way, where every time you turn on your social media, every time you turn on your Instagram, there's a Zoom meeting happening. Somebody posting a Bible scripture, there's somebody giving a devotional, and you cannot hinder the plans of God. This message, the last day message that Jesus loves you, that Christ died for your sins, is going to go to the end of the earth. No matter how much the enemy tries to stop it, God's plans will always work. Amen, amen, and amen. So I'm going to ask somebody, whoever can get to Romans 8:28 first, or whoever has it memorized, if you can just turn on your mic and read that scripture for us, that would be a blessing. Romans 8:28. Amen. Church is open in every home. Amen.
And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Amen. Amen. So we know that all good things work together for those who are called towards their purpose. And why did we have the call talking about leadership? Because I wanted all of us, as we sit on this call and as we listen to the word of God read to us, God speaks to all of us in individual ways, and God will connect these scriptures in our mind individually and speak to us individually. We need to understand that God is calling us to a purpose, and we're going to have to stand in faith, especially being a leader. We're going to have to stand in faith sometimes, and we see how God connects everything. So as we go into chapter 2, this is when Moses was born, and we're still seeing the theme of faithful God, because it reads, "As a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi, a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months." No, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And we're seeing the same faithful here. So the parents of Moses had to make a choice whether they were going to disobey the laws of God or disobey the laws of the Pharaoh. And they chose to honor God in this point. So we're still seeing faithful leadership. We see the example because they made it to the Hall of Fame of Leadership in Hebrews 11. And it's amazing because I start to think about God and how God works, we're seeing connections here leading to the life of Christ, the same thing Christ had to go through. And then we see the situation with the Pharaoh. And God is so amazing. God is so creative. God is all-knowing. How is it that the Pharaoh tried to kill all the newborn sons, and God used Pharaoh's daughter to raise his deliverer? So now we're seeing not only the ultimate leadership of God, but the all-knowing leadership of God. And this is something that we could stay faithful in, the fact that when God is calling us to something special, we know that there's going to be roadblocks in the way, there's going to be storms, there's going to be viruses, there's going to be things we're going to face. But look at how God had sovereignty over Moses' life, that he used an instrument of the enemy. He used his daughter to raise his deliverer. And this is the next question I want to ask. And we can use the chat, and I will ask a few people to express it. What blessings of God, this is the next question, what blessings of God has led me to where I am today? When you think of yourself as a leader, what blessings of God has led me to where I am today? Because when you think about your life and think about, look at Moses' life, look at his birth, look at the situation that he was born into, but the fact that God brought him, allowed him to be born, allowed him to be placed by the river, and then after that, be brought back to his mother, and his mother raised him for about the first, if that's not God's sovereignty, I don't know what to call it. But what blessings of God has led you to where you are today? If you really think about that for a second, I'm going to ask people to type in the chat. What blessings from God has led you to where you are today? From the trials are my biggest blessings. Okay, Melissa, from the trials are my biggest blessings, emotional healing and peace. All right. Life testimonies, experiences, and seeing how God works, miracles in my life. So I'm gonna have to call on Melissa, because yesterday she was leading her amazing call, and I was voicing and I was participating, and I have to call on Melissa to share a little of that.
All right, I'd be happy to share. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your study today. I think for me, I'm extremely stubborn. I'm extremely independent, and I'm very much like a self-serving kind of personality. I think I can do everything myself. I don't like to depend on other people. And so for God to really get my attention, it often takes me crashing and burning to kind of be willing to be like, you know what, actually, let me try and do this God's way. And so I think that sometimes in those, my biggest failures, the moments where I feel the most disappointment are actually what I really learn the most from, and what reminds me that there's so much more to life than just the small realm that I live in. And so looking back, I've really learned to appreciate the trials and appreciate the challenges, because they remind me of my God, and they remind me of all the other things that are to come for my life.
Amen. And Larry, if you could please share with us, that would be a blessing.
Yeah, I've gone through many different directions in terms of career and different ways that I was going to. I was going to medical school and different things, and nursing school. And then, yeah, God just kept leading me towards ministry more and more. And so, yeah, it's just amazing how God can continually move you from direction to direction.
Amen. Amen. And Gabriel, if you could share with us quickly, I love your name. That's one of my favorite angels. What's one of the miracles in your life that you have experienced?
Well, I was born with a cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is a muscle condition where you're either born mentally or physically. But when I was born, At 2 years old, they told, well, when I was born, they told me I'd never walk or talk or be able to do those things. Turned 2 years old, I ended up talking on my own. And then I went into like elementary school, crawling on all fours. And so I was inspired by this movie, Forrest Gump. And so I would watch that movie every day and I would visualize myself walking on my own. And then a teacher was like, I want to teach you how to walk. And so we did it for 5 days. And on the fifth day, I took off walking by myself.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Powerful testimonies. Thank you so much for sharing, you all. That was a blessing. As we see amazing God, as we see Pharaoh's daughter, she named him Moses. But if you really study the life of Moses, you'll see it was truly God who led him out of the water. And this is just amazing to see how God is. So now I want to go to, when we go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, we see, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out of his, to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian. We're jumping now. We're jumping from the childhood of Moses and the sovereignty that God have had over his life all the way to when Moses was 40 years old. And we're skipping through. We're coming to a close. So I'm more focusing on main points, main things where God has spoke to me through this. And many times, we as leaders, we think about this. What's my resume? We think about our resume. And one, if we look at Moses' resume, I don't know if it's the best resume. He was a murderer. He killed somebody. He had a stuttering problem. He had a temper. He had a really bad temper. Now, after the training of God, we see in Numbers 12:3. And can somebody please read Numbers 12:3 really quickly? Numbers 12:3.
Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth.
All right. And that's what you get after the training of God. So when we think about this, like, all right, why is this important? Why is this even significant? And I'm going to start like this. I'm sorry, but what's more important than your resume is your Redeemer. What's more important than your resume is your Redeemer. Because many times as leaders, we try to build up good resumes. Or we try to hide our resumes from the past. We don't want people to know our resume. Okay? But I'm sorry, but what's more important than your resume is your Redeemer. Because after God was finished training Moses, we're able to see in the Word of God, now Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Okay? And divinity works with humanity. That's what we need to understand, that we have a divine, the ultimate leader leading us and working through us. And I want to share a little quote that I found from one of my favorite books, The Desire of Ages. If you haven't read it, please read it. It says, "Thus the Lord's disciples were ordained to gospel ministry and his representatives among men. Christ does not choose angels who have not fallen, but human beings, men of like passions, with those they seek to save. Christ took upon himself humanity that he might reach humanity. Divinity, humanity, for it required both divine and the human to bring salvation to the world. It needed humanity, that humanity might afford a channel of communication between God and man. So with the servants and messengers of Christ, man needs a power outside of and beyond himself to restore him to the light and enable him to do the work of God. But this does not make the human agency essential. Humanity lays hold upon divine power. Christ dwells in the heart by faith. And through cooperation with the divine, the power of man becomes efficient for good." So this comes from the chapter, if you want to look it up, when Christ was choosing his disciples. And many of us on this call, the fact that we're here on a Wednesday night, taking time to go on a Zoom, this is the Holy Spirit leading us here, because we're all called for something special. But we all have flaws. We all have mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes cause us guilt. They cause us to feel ashamed. But we need to look at the life of Moses and to see that Moses murdered somebody. He had stuttering problems. He had a temper. But God was able to shape him and mold him. And he was able to see God face to face. And that's the same experience that God would have for all of us on this call. Divinity is working with humanity. God is going to use us all on this call in a mighty way. But we have to understand who is our ultimate leader. And that's Jesus Christ. Working through all of us, using all of us here as instruments to finish this last work until he comes again. God was graceful in using. God was graceful because if we look at the life of Moses, we know that he was trained for about 30 years in the school of Egypt. He had the best teachers. This was the richest nation. But why is it that God still had to send Moses to the wilderness? Why is it? Why? What was he trying to teach him? And I made a little note of it, and then I'll come with the next question right before we close. It says, there was many things Moses needed to unlearn from Egypt in order to receive God's help. Men must recognize his weakness and deficiency. God had Moses spend 40 years to humble him in the humble work of a shepherd. He needed habits. These were the habits he needed, caretaking. He needed forgetfulness of self. He needed tender solitude. He needed humility. So now I have this question here, and we're going to get straight to the point. Right now, some of us are in the wilderness. We're walking in the wilderness. We're going through that time when God is molding our character. So we're putting this, we're going to put this out here, not for anybody else, but between us and God. Put this question in the chat. What is God teaching me in the wilderness? What is God teaching me? Because this is something that we need to reflect on. Right now, if you are going through your wilderness, what is God trying to teach you right now? What is God trying to teach me? And I'll write in the chat, God has me in Mexico right now because God is trying to teach me humbleness. I'll write that in there. God is trying to teach me how to live a simplistic lifestyle. God is trying to teach me forgiveness. And right now, we're all going through the wilderness, whether we like it or not. We're going through this virus. We're in our homes. God is using this time to have us self-reflect on many things. What is God trying to teach us right now? To wait on him. Many, many great answers in the chat. Many amazing answers in the chat. When we look at the life of Moses, Moses' life was breaking into many different segments. He had his first 40 years when he was in Egypt. He had his second 40 years when he was being trained in the wilderness in Merom. And then he had his last 40 years when he was actually leading Israel, all right? God works on his perfect time. But sometimes we need to ask ourselves, how much time do I need to spend with God? Yesterday during the call, Melissa brought up, answered some questions when it came to how much time do we need to spend reading the Bible? And, you know, that's all a personal, that's all personal. It's all based on yourself. But we need to really ask ourselves, how much time do we need to spend with God? And that may not always be Bible reading or Bible study. Sometimes we just need to really spend some time with God. Sometimes we need to spend time with God as a friend, because it was when Moses, he probably got comfortable. He got comfortable as a shepherd. He got used to the life. He actually started loving his sheep. They knew his voice. And then he was humbly just having peace in the wilderness, and he made his way up that cliff. And the next thing you know, he sees that burning bush. And God says those words to him, please get your sandals off your feet. This is your holy. Take the sin off, take them off. Now it's time for me and you to talk, because I have a special question for you. Now we'll end with this last question. So now we already said what God is trying to teach us in the wilderness. Now, this is the last question. What is God calling me to do? Right now in this moment, we already know what, all right, we see glimpses of what God is trying to do as a leader. We see that right now. What is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to do? So I'll pray to kind of close, and then we can open up for questions at the end or anything anybody would like to talk or discussion. But that's what I want to end on. What is God calling me to do? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this moment to open up your word and reflect on how you have led the life of Moses. Father, I pray that as we have reflected over your word, the Holy Spirit could cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds. And let us know that you are leading us. You are leading us to do great things. And you are the ultimate leader that always keeps his promises. You promised us that you will come back soon. You promised us that you will have a crown for us. And that you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, to everybody that believes and stays obedient to your word. So Father, help us stay obedient. So one day we can be in your kingdom, where there's no more pain, no more tears, and we can be with our loved ones that we've lost. We can learn about your love for eternity. Prepare us, Father, day by day. Sanctify us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.